Słuchasz podcastu Everest Lidera.
Cześć, nazywam się Ania Sarnacka-Smith. Zawodowo jestem konsultantem HR, menadżerem, właścicielką firmy Effectiveness.pl, która wspiera liderów we właściwym doborze pracowników, utrzymaniu zaangażowania zespołu, wykorzystując swoje najlepsze zasoby, bez wchodzenia w utarte schematy.
Today's topic, how to talk to your employees about the war. Hi everyone. Uncertainty, unknown, fear, determination to help refugees, but at the same time, fear of tomorrow, nonsense of what's happening now. Many of us would say, this is it. This is how I feel. And now we can find a lot of information on how to talk to our kids about the war. But what about us, people in a workplace? As you know, in this podcast, I name leadership challenges, and usually I give you a solution. And today, yes, I named the challenge we're facing now, but I am not sure I have the right solution. So to talk about today's topic, I asked Chris Cibolero, coach, mentor, and spokesperson in medical industry, and my American friend. Hi, Chris.
Hello, honey.
How are you?
I am very well. Thank you so much for allowing me to come and talk and share a little bit of wisdom with your clients. It is such a horrific time in the world. And even being miles away, you know, we still feel the impact here in the United States. And being able to share a little bit of wisdom is very honoring for me to do for you.
Thank you, Chris. I really appreciate it. And I called you a few days ago saying I need your help. And you know, if I call you, it must be huge because like usually you call me or you text me like saying, is there anything I can help you with? But I called you saying, Chris, I really need your help because in this crisis, I want to be a leader. I want to support my employees. I want to support my clients. But the truth is, I'm not sure if this is enough what I'm doing. I'm trying to, but I'm not sure if this is the way I talk to them is the right way to do that.
Sure.
So should I, you know, ask them every day how they feel or I shouldn't, like many thoughts, many questions on my mind. That's why I need your wisdom and your thoughts.
Sure. Well, thank you so much. And you know, one of the things that I think I would start off with is what leadership really means, right? I mean, we don't work for, you know, the people who work for us, they don't really work for us, right? We work for them. We're there to guide them. We're there to coach them. We're there to inspire them. We're there to motivate them. And now when you think about the business of what we have to do, it's almost like we have to pull back a little bit on our business so we can deal with the anguish that's happening in our part of the world. I mean, Poland has done such a great job of stepping up to help in this humanitarian crisis, right? They're leaders not only in their country but in the world now, and everyone is focused on what Poland is doing for the citizens of Ukraine. And we just wish we can do more to support Poland as a country. But now when we think about it from a agency standpoint, from an organization standpoint, what about the people in our organization who are looking to us for guidance, who are looking to us for the permission to grieve, are looking to us to be, say, it's okay to be stressful? And how do we deal with that? And how do we help people understand that? I think one of the things first that we have to do is know that our service to the people that are in our organization comes first, always. And this is no different. Are the businesses in Poland doing business as normal? Well, maybe some are, but maybe some aren't. Maybe they've closed their doors to, you know, get food for people. Or, you know, we're seeing pictures in the United States of parents leaving strollers at the train stations and the bus stations. And, you know, you see food is being laid out. And it may be that we rally our troops, rally our workers to do some of that work as well. So I want to be able to give you a couple points of how do we lead in crisis? And this is what's really important. First off, the first point of advice I want to give you is don't waste the crisis. Okay. What I mean by that is this may never, ever happen again. And it's horrible that it's happening now. But as history tells us, you know, this Russia has done this to Ukraine back in 2013 or 2014. So this may come around again, right? So one of the first things that we need to think about from a leadership standpoint is how do we train our workforce to deal with this issue, right? I mean, some of them who are working for us, they may not have been around. They may have been young kids in 2014, 2013. So we need to be able to give them the opportunity to grow in this crisis. Because when we think about crisis management, when's the next time there's going to be a crisis, right? So you never want to waste the opportunity to teach people how to communicate, to teach people how to inspire, to teach people how to motivate in crisis. You have to remember that they need you more now than ever. They're having to come to work. They still have to put food on the table. They still have to be able to clothe their kids. They still got to be able to pay for their homes. So they need you now more than ever. You have to be able to give them permission to maybe do things a little bit differently. Maybe in the morning time, before you open your doors for business, you sit and you just talk to your folks saying, what are you thinking? What are you feeling? Do you need anything from us? Can we help you while you're helping the Ukrainian citizens who are coming across the border? That's going to be the first thing, because we have to be able to think about their well-being, their mental health, their mental stress, because they're feeling it. You know, Anna, when you called me the other day, we talked on the phone, and I felt your words and almost felt the emotion, and I can almost see the tears in your eyes. And
my frustration.
We were on the phone together, right? So one of the things that I tried to do with you, if you didn't recall, was I wanted to give you a sense of calm. I wanted to give you a sense of everything, as horrible as it is, we're going to be okay. Things are going to be okay. And sometimes the people that you work with need to hear that from you. So being able just to say, what are you thinking? What are you feeling? What can we do for you? What can I do for you? How do we, and then maybe it's the discussion of how do we help our Ukrainian peers, our Ukrainian partners, right? And I think that that's one of the big things to think about.
I think that was really smart what we have done, because I didn't realize that actually, yes, after our call, I felt, okay, there is hope. I'm not here by myself. There's someone I can talk to.
And one of the things that must be challenging for you, as well as other Polish citizens, as well as other Ukrainian citizens, and even other areas in the EU and in that part of the world, is you're here in the United States and you're so far away and you're locked away. You know, if you were there, you'd want to be able to do more. You know, as a paramedic in my career, working on the ambulances, and I see the horror that's happening in Ukraine, I want to get on an airplane and go deliver medical care to, you know, the people who were there. And there are soldiers who were in the war in Afghanistan and Iraq that are going over to Ukraine to help support and fight for that sovereignty of that nation. But one of the things that I think is you're invested. I mean, I talk to you two or three or four times a year, you're going to Poland and you're conducting business and this is your home and this is where your parents are and you're talking to them all the time about what's going on and what do you need. And sometimes we feel, as strong as we are and as much as we want to control what's happening around us, we are in a corner and we are in the dark and the door is locked and we can't get out. But look at what you're doing. You're finding the resources you need to bring some type of strength to the people you know, right? I mean, your environment, it's this big, but you know what? You're going to do as much as you can for those people who you serve. And that's what we have to do as leaders, is we have to be able to think about, we do the business that we need to do. You know, war is knocking on the border. Right? We don't know what happens in the weeks to come. So we've got to stay vigilant. We've got to stay heightened, but we still want to keep some sense of normalcy as well, right? Because we want to be able to preserve our way of life until our way of life is threatened. And then we've got to take it different. Now, we can be heightened. You know, you said before we started recording where you talked about your parents and your mom and your dad gave you two different sides of the story. Your mom said, oh, we have this and we have that and we're okay. And then your dad said, well, I've got enough gas that if I need to get out of here, I can get out of here. Again, two different approaches to the story. We want to be able to be heightened. We want to be able to be aware, but we still have to be able to be normal, right? And that's going to be really hard in this time where normalcy isn't real. But the people that trust us and the people that need us need to be able to feel that, okay, we're going to be ready, but let's do business as usual. We're going to help our Ukrainian partners. We're going to help the refugees who are coming across the border. We may have to open that spare room so someone can live in it for a while, but let's still keep it as normal as we can. The people who are coming, that the citizens of Poland are helping, they could use a little normalcy, right? Because they've seen death and they've seen destruction and they've seen horror and they've been displaced from their family. I wonder where my husband is. I wonder where my brother is, because these Ukrainian men have stayed behind to defend their country. So, but a little bit of normalcy from from the Polish people, the Polish citizens, and then from, you know, helping your workforce, I mean, that's where we have to try to get to. So I think that that's a great way. I hope I'm not babbling too much for you, Anna.
No, you're not. So, but let me check if I understood you well. If I ask you how to talk to my employees about the war, they understood you well that it's more important is how I feel about them, about my attitude, not exactly how often do I talk to them about that, or like, you know, like which words I'm using to talk about that.
Yeah. And I think that that's really right. I mean, there are people who have different levels of experience based on their years, right? I talked to my daughter. My daughter's 24 years old, right? I had the opportunity to be in war here in the U.S. when that happened. And my understanding of war and my comfort level with outcome is different than hers at 23 years old. So I can impart my wisdom on her and tell her what I think I want her to hear. But what I really want to be able to do is give her the message that will make her feel more comfortable for her feelings, right? Because she doesn't see it the same way I see it. You know, she talks about this no-fly zone and she talks about NATO and sending fighter jets. And I have to be able to back her up a little bit to say, think about this from a more global scale, right? So the reason that I say, ask them about their feelings is I may think that the message is this. Come to find out, we need to give them this message instead, right? So our wisdom and our experience and our mistakes and our failures, they go all into this discussion. But let me make it specific for you. Let me just not give you what I think you need.
Sure. I stopped because, like, you know, I also get like very emotional because it's a lot. Like, you know, when I start a call with my team, I see different faces, as you said, like different level of like dealing with emotions. So yes, I want to find out what they really need. But at the end of the day, I also feel it's important that I have to somehow protect myself. Am I right?
I think you do.
I see, I mean, you say yes, but like, how can I do that?
Yeah. Well, I think that it goes, you know, our responsibility is to the people we serve. And your team is, I've met your team, you know, they're great people. They're very, very important to the success of your organization. And we do everything we can to ensure that our team is taken care of, right? That we answer their need. But we have to be able to keep our mental health, our mental wellness as high as it is. So there's no reason why you can't ask them or talk to them about your feelings either, you know? But from your side, you need to be able to have an exit, not an exit, but you need to be able to have an outlet for your feelings. And when you called me, you were like, who do I turn to? Who do I go to say, let me see what I can do for people? Well, you called someone who's your friend, you called a peer and said, how do I do this? How do I give more? And sometimes you got to do that for yourself as well. Because here's one of the things that happens now is when you called me, I gave you some insight that you probably shared with your team, right? I gave you a different perspective that will now allow you to talk differently. In this conversation that we're having, there may be some pieces of wisdom that you take out of this that the next time you're on the phone with your mom, or the next time you're on the phone with a friend in Poland, or the next time you're talking to your team, you may say, well, think about this. We want to be able to keep things as normal as we can. And then you're going to think, well, where did that come from? Right. So your process as well is to make sure that you talk to as many people as you can for your own mental wellness, for your own de-stress, to de-stress. But then you're gaining more wisdom. You're gaining more knowledge. You know, you're very, very close to this situation. Right. Your parents are close to the border with Ukraine. Right. So you're living it more than I'm living it. So I have less emotion in it than you do. So where you're thinking of family and love and loss and prevention, and I'm thinking of strength, and I'm thinking of inspiration, and I'm thinking of motivation, and I'm thinking of honor, and I'm thinking of, you know, I am so impressed with the president of Ukraine. I mean, he's got, you know, he's so strong. He's sitting in his office and almost daring them to come and get him out. Right. I mean, that's inspirational to me. There are other people in Ukraine who are saying, why does he have to be so reckless? Well, I don't see it as that way. I see it as he's being a true leader, right? So I think that when you think about yourself and the mental wellness that you need to have, it's with your peers, it's with your friends. It may be with your workforce to say, you know what, this hurts my heart, you know, and I know it must hurt your heart as well. Let me tell you what I feel, you know, from you as the leader. I feel a little bit of loss. I feel a little bit of, I don't know how to lead you. How do I help you? How do I lead you in this time? What makes you feel better? Because again, I may give you what I think you need. So I think that's a good thing.
I think this is what I like wanted to hear today, that that it starts with the attitude. Really, because like trying to help like different people, I focus on tasks. Okay, what should I do? What should I say? But thanks to you, I was able, even listening to you now, I was able to just like slow down, calm down, think, okay, like who I am, what's my goal? My goal as a leader is to show my employees, to show my clients, I really care. And what I also got from our conversation is it's okay for leaders to feel lost and not to have the answer.
Yeah. And one of the things that you need to think about is when you know, one of the best characteristics of a leader is to be decisive. We have to make decisions. Are those decisions always right? No, they're not always right. We use our critical thinking skills. We use our problem-solving skills, and then we come up with the best decision that we can. We think we got the best decision. Come to find out, it's not the right decision. Here's another thing that's important, is the decision you make today on a specific topic may not work tomorrow, and you're going to have to go through this process all over again. Okay. So you have to be able to be dynamic in your critical thinking and your problem solving and your decisiveness, because the same problem that we're going to have tomorrow, the solution that we had yesterday may not work. And it's okay to say, what do you think we do? Because how many people in business right now have this experience of dealing with this? So we take the information in, we think about it. We make the determination how it affects us. We make the determination how it impacts us, our team. And then we say, okay, follow me. We're going to do this. You may have to turn back around and say, well, that didn't work. What do we do now? Plan B. But then you've got to be able to be dynamic enough to know tomorrow's response needs to be 100% different than it was yesterday.
Chris, I want to say thank you, like for now, but I believe there will be one day I will call you again and say, yes, there is a moment I need you and I need that different perspective, someone who is not that emotionally involved. And I think this is what we all need also in Poland. So I really appreciate you found time to share your wisdom and your thoughts with us. Thank you.
My pleasure. And, you know, one of the things that I want to be able to say from my heart and a lot of the people here in the United States is we are supporting and we are very, very proud of our European friends in Poland. And we are so proud of the people who are standing up for their country. And it gives us a sense of pride and it inspires us to be better people. And one of the things I did, Anna, just for support, is I went on Airbnb in the Ukraine and I booked a place for a week. I'm not going to the Ukraine, but I went ahead and booked a place to stay so I can give money to the community. And a lot of people in the U.S. are doing that to help support. And but I watched the TV in horror. I watched the TV and I'm disgusted of what I see, and everything will work out the way it's supposed to. But what gives me hope is the strength of the people and the stories that they're telling, where I would be devastated. Their strength is motivating me to be a better leader, a better person, a better citizen of my own country. So for me, this is an honor that you asked me to do this, to talk to the people, your people, and we pray for them every day.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.